All right, if you have a Bible, will you turn to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. I want to share with you the power of decisions. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. Chapter 16 and verse number 16 is where we're going to go. And it came to pass, say it came to pass. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met with us, which brought her masters much gain by fortune-telling. So there was this young lady who had an evil spirit who had been doing fortune-telling, and she was gaining and making a lot of money for those in whom she was working for, and she began to follow those who were Paul and Silas and those who were with him. The same, this woman, she followed Paul and all of us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." So here was someone with an evil spirit who was trying to attach herself. How many of you know that evil spirits will try to attach themselves? How do you know? How many of you know that sometimes unclean spirits will show up even in places like this to try to distract, to try to divide, to try to hinder, to try to throw a monkey wrench, so to speak, into the things what God is doing? And this young woman, she came behind them and she was speaking some truth in this statement that these were men of the Most High God. She was declaring, even though that she was of a demon possession, that these were godly men. And the reason the enemy was using her in this way is so that she would gain further attention, because she would seem to be with those who were of God, but yet her works were not of God. And so the enemy was trying to bring a very deceptive situation into coming to pass here. Verse number 18. "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her that same hour." Notice for a moment there, Scripture says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Paul did not address her, but he addressed the evil spirit that had been using her. Paul did not rail against her. Paul did not attack her. Paul addressed the evil wickedness that had been working in her life. Paul spoke directly to the demonic spirit, and he commanded that spirit to come out of her. We need pastors in the pulpit again today, in this day and hour, that will not be afraid to look at a demon and tell it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We need men and women that will stand behind pulpits like this and to declare the Word of God. I don't care if they're preaching in a t-shirt or sandals or whatever they have on. The important thing is, are they declaring the Word of God? And are they speaking the Word of God with authority in the name of Jesus? Have they been anointed with power and authority to declare the Word of God? Jesus said, "I have been anointed to proclaim good news, to set those who were captive free, to break chains of bondage," just like we did here this morning, to some that may seem foolish, but to those of us that know the power of God, we know the truth therein. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And Paul acknowledge that instantly. There was a demonic spirit in that. Yeah, we need men and women of God today that have enough unction of the Holy Spirit in them to be able to discern between spirits and what's going on in the life of someone. Paul was grieved in a spirit. He declared to that thing to come out in that same hour. It did. "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, he drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." So when the one who was using her, the one who was making money from her. He had no caring or concern that she was set free from demon possession. He was only concerned with what he was going to put in his pocket. And I would declare to you today, we should be less concerned with what we're putting in our pocket. If we're putting it in our pocket and denying how the enemy's using it. Hear me. Paul said, it can't be no more. Her masters got upset because she was now not being able to tell fortunes and do these things. And they were losing a lot of money. So they bring them into the public arena before the rulers. Verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They were more content to allow the devil to have rampant reign and rule in their towns than freedom that came from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, and the multitudes, the crowds. Let me tell you something, a multitude is not an indicator of anything. It was a multitude that got Barabbas released and Jesus crucified. Big crowds in and of themselves are not an indicator of anything. Because a lot of times people follow what they can, what they feel they're going to get, what's going to benefit them out of it. These men are doing things that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe as Romans. And the multitude, the crowds of people, rose up together against them, Paul and Silas, teaching and preaching of Jesus, delivering demon-possessed, praying for the sick and watching them recover. And the magistrates rent them of their clothes, tore their clothes off of them, stripped them naked in the public square, and commanded them to be beaten. Imagine that scene if you would. When was the last time you ever seen somebody stripped naked in the town square? For nothing less than looking at a young lady and saying, get out of her body. Most people would think people would rejoice over a young woman being possessed, being set free. Somebody sick, being healed. They're in the public arena now, disgraced and embarrassed above every. My word, it don't take that much to get people out of the church today. I guarantee you, if the leaders came, grabbed you, snatched you up out of your seat today, drug you up in the front of this church, and stripped all your clothes off of you naked and said they done something wrong, they need to be chastised for that, you would never show your face in this building again, would you? You would never show your face in a church again. Well, maybe you're one of the big CrossFit guys, you know, you'd be like, yeah. But you talk about humiliating. We get mad today if somebody doesn't greet us. If somebody parked where we normally park. If somebody sits where we normally sat. If we didn't sing a song that they liked. The service went too long. It was too short. Well, we never have to worry about that. We get upset and angry over, well, I'm not going to church anymore. Why? Because my prayer request didn't happen yet, and others did. And I want mine, and if I didn't get mine, that's it. I'm not going anymore. Really. Today, what has happened to the church? What has happened to the boldness of the church? What has happened to the confidence in the men and women of God to hold strong to the Word of God and not waver at persecution? And even if it means public embarrassment or shame has happened to these men, What did they do wrong? Set a woman free. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them under guard, watch them securely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Susan and I had the privilege of being right there, standing at this very spot where Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. We stood right there on the hollow, sacred ground where Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. Right there, stood at the very place. Thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. In other words, they were chained around their ankles and they were chained around their hands. They were treated as animals. In a dungeon of a prison that was nothing more than a honed out cistern. Not like prisons of the day. This thing at best was an old water well or an old sewage cistern where there was waste, and you name it. The miracle is that they even survived not dying of disease from being where they were chained up. It was amazing. Shackled, chains, bondage wrapped around them, holding them, that they can't hardly move because of the chains wrapped around them and around their feet. And if you've ever been in bondage to anything, that thing has a hold on you. And there they are, thrust into prison, stripped naked, embarrassed and ashamed. Wouldn't most people be? Most would rail accusations. Most would pump their fist at the heavens and declare to God, how could you let this happen to me? Why would you let this happen to me? If you were so good, if you were such a good God, why would you let this happen to me? Stripped in front of people we know. Grown men shamed and embarrassed in public like that. How could this happen? And the prison guard, he is told to watch them closely so that they don't get out. And what you need to understand is, when such a charge happens, that jailer was responsible for those prisoners. And if those prisoners would get away, that jailer could be executed for that. He was on watch. It was their guard. They were to keep them in that jail. Beaten, battered, mocked, made fun of, ridiculed, chained, shackled, thrown into a dungeon of a prison. And at the midnight hour, verse 30 or 25 says, and at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas had a decision. They faced a moment of decision. Do we sit here and get angry because of what happened to us? Do we sit here and get mad because of what's taken place? Do we sit here and get frustrated because of the humility and the shame that happened, all because we're preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We get angry for so little today. We get bitter for so little today. Beaten, battered, and bruised, flesh torn from their bodies, flesh hanging off, blood rolling down, arteries damaged, blood vessels pulsating, pain at levels that none of us here could even really even begin to comprehend. No Novocaine, no sedation, no painkillers. And at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas had a decision. Remember in Philippians 4:4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Say that with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Those are the words of Paul. Did you ever say something and then had to live up to your words? Have you ever had something in your heart that people knew the way you believed and then you had to live it out? It's easy to say certain things until we have to live them out, isn't it? Later on he says, rejoice in the Lord always, because he'd been through some stuff. He knew that he, looking back, he could rejoice in prison. He could rejoice in being shamed. He could rejoice in being beaten. He could rejoice in this. He could rejoice in anything. The midnight hour, Paul looks over at Silas, or Silas looks over at Paul, and one of them gets a little bit of a grin on their face. And one of them said, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, and they start singing, they start lifting up their voices. I imagine a little bit of a smirk came on their face. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison began to shake. And immediately the doors of the prison were open, and the chains that had been bound around them shook right off of them. When they made the decision, see, the prison didn't shake till they said, the prison didn't shake until they began to sing. When they began to magnify God above the situation, God then inhabited their broken bodies. God then inhabited, you say, but why did God let them go through all that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because the lost jailer and his entire family were now at a moment of decision. Every decision has consequences. Paul and Silas preaching the word, they get thrown into jail. The greater reason they were in jail was there was a lost sinner of a jailer that needed to be saved, and his whole household needed to come to salvation. He needed a miraculous sign to open up his eyes. And God said, I'm going to send two men I can trust. I'm going to send Paul, and I'm going to send Silas into the prison. If Paul could come here today, if Silas could come here today, and we could say to him, Brother Paul, Brother Silas, was the beating worth it? Was the shame worth it? I guarantee you with all certainty, based on all the things that he has written to us, that he would say, I'd take it all over again if it meant the salvation of that man and his household. God miraculously shakes the prison. I have never seen an earthquake shake so violently. I've never heard of one that even the prisoners with their shackles on it shook them right off, Rob. It shook them right off. It dropped right in front of them. Could you imagine that shaking? That the shackles on them came. Just look at somebody and go, chains are coming off. I know it's weird, but just do it anyway. Chains are coming off. Chains are coming off. Chains are coming off. We're seeing God deliver people. We're seeing God set people free. I was talking to somebody from Florida the other day. I was talking to a pastor from Florida this morning, texting back and forth. And him say to me the other day, if what's happening in your church was happening in our church right now, we'd have to build a new building. Because we wouldn't be able to put all the people in it. That's what they said. They said, what is wrong with Pennsylvania? They said, do you have people waiting to get in the doors? I said, no. They said, are all your seats filled? I said, no. They said, what is wrong with Pennsylvania? What is wrong in the community that you live in? What is wrong when God is shaking prison doors and setting people free? Why is the house not filled with people? One person said, you've got to come. One service. Next week we'll have 1,000 or 2,000 people cramming in the building. Different regions, different areas. It's amazing how people respond differently. Noised, heard of the things. You think of the miraculous testimony Paul and Silas have after this. Word spread quickly. People told of the miraculous things that God was doing. People were not silent to tell of the miraculous stories, to magnify the name of Jesus Christ, to lift high the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people flooded because of the miraculous, because of the divine, because of the supernatural. The prison was shaken, they were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword, that he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out loud with a loud voice, saying, don't hurt yourself, don't do it. We're all here. Some people would have said, well, let him get what he deserves. Let him get what he deserves. Let him get what's coming to him. After all, he's the one watching us here. He's the one keeping us here after we were beaten and bruised. He's been our oppressor. See, the love of Christ goes far and beyond even those things. And Paul was so concerned even with him that he wasn't willing to let him perish or take his own life, because he knew that if the prisoners got out, he would be beaten himself and be put to death. Paul says, don't do it. Then he called for a light and he sprang and he came in trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas. The jailer comes now and falls at the feet of Paul and Silas. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them. The jailer took Paul and Silas that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. He washed their wounds. He doctored them up. He took care of them. And catch this, Paul says, hey, while we're still here, we might as well baptize you. Him and his whole house get saved and baptized. There's Paul beaten, battered, and bruised. And they're cleaning up his wounds. And he's like, hey, have you heard about water baptism? Most people would have been silent about Jesus from that point. They wouldn't have been saying much about Jesus after what happened the last time they talked about him. Got beaten and thrown into jail. But they had seen the salvation of the Lord. They had seen the a decision. The decision they made to speak the goodness of Jesus. That decision ultimately ended in an entire family coming, an entire household, which who knows how many people that entailed, coming to salvation. Other men at the jail, all witnessing the power of God. Because don't forget for a moment that that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit now lives in you and I. That same resurrection power. You got chains. He's a chain breaker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. Paul said, no matter what happens, I've learned to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He made the decision to follow God. He made the decision to worship God even when things were bad. He made the decision to rejoice in the Lord regardless of whatever was going on in his life. And there's the example for you and I. Have we learned, will we learn that regardless of where we are or what we're in or what's going on in our life, that we can rejoice in the Lord always, knowing that he who has begun a good work is faithful and just to complete it. And if we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understandings, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, that's a good decision. That's a good decision. The Bible says, your Bible says, he will make your pathway straight. I trust today in your decision making, in your choices, much like Paul and Silas, that you will make wise ones. And even though at times when you make a good decision for God, it may even seem and it may appear to get you in hot water with someone else, but God's just using it for something. God's working it for good. Because the Bible says he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That short stay in the prison cell was meant for nothing more than to declare the power of God in their lives and to set other men free. Sometimes God allows us to be in a certain situation so that he can show his power through it. When others see our chains being broken, they come to Christ because they've seen our chains broken. Come on, worship team, will you come back to the platform? He is a powerful God. He's a wonder-working God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. I texted a pastor friend of mine in Florida today before they went into their service and encouraging them and saying, brother, God is able. God is able. Whatever you're walking into there today, God is able. Whatever situations that are walking in that door, God is able. God is able. Break chains today. Set captives free today. Declare the word of God today. Preach the word of God today. And walk off that platform and give two hoots for what anyone has to say about it other than God. Because if you've done what God told you to do and you've pleased the heart of God, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Because one day we'll stand before a righteous Redeemer. I don't worry about anyone else judging me anymore. I'm too old for that. I don't worry about what others are going to say about me anymore. I'm only concerned with what he has to say. Because one day I'm only going to stand before him. I'm not going to get there and have to stand before anyone else but him. And one day I want to be able to know, Karen, that I've done what he's asked me to do. That I've said what he's asked me to say. And I'm here today to pull you out and to watch those chains fall helpless behind you. And if God's got to shake the foundation of where you sit to break your chains, he did it before. He'll do it again because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, will you stand with us? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I pray, Lord, for every struggling person today, every troubled heart, every weary mind, every bruised and broken and battered individual that may be here today, every lost soul, every lost hurting person that may be here today, everyone who's struggling through whatever it is that they're struggling through, dealing with whatever it is that they're dealing with, facing the difficulties of whatever it is that they're going through, that they will see today that you can break the chains and you can make a way, and that you are a good, good Father. May they be able to leave this place today knowing without a shadow of a doubt they've been in the presence of Almighty God. Being able to leave here today knowing that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Being able to leave here today knowing that if they're God before them, who can be against them? Knowing today whatever chain they carried in here has fallen helpless and hopeless behind them. So God, today I pray that you will strengthen every life, that you will encourage every heart, that we'll be able to leave here today knowing that there is no God like Jehovah. And we'll shout it from the rooftops and we'll tell every single one we know, look what the Lord has done in my life. Look what the Lord has done. I give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name.